Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Sunday the 16th of May, and thank you so much for joining with us today. This particular recording is primarily for the phone line, but it's also a video with the slides from our church service, which is available on the website right throughout the weekend. We've been having a lot of bother trying to do our live stream on a Sunday, and some of you who have tuned in at 11 and the live stream hasn't been working properly, you've been able to watch our service with these slides at 11. And then there's usually a recording of the live service in church available at 1 o'clock. We are working to try and get the live stream working, but it is proving quite difficult at the minute. I think the main problem is we don't have broadband in the church, and therefore it's quite difficult to get it done. But if you're listening on the phone line or you're watching on the website, you're very welcome today. And because this is primarily for the phone line, it's a reduced version of the service. There won't be any singing, but I will make mention of the hymns that we would be singing. And if you want to think about those hymns a little bit, or find some way of singing them, then you're very welcome to do that. So as we begin our service today, we're continuing our theme of the book of James. We're asking, how do you cope with James? And today we're asking the question, how do you cope with speaking? As Christians, we're called upon to speak all the time. Every day in our lives, we're speaking to those around us. And it's very easy to mess up speaking. It's very easy to get it wrong. It's very easy to say the wrong things, to hurt people's feelings. So today we're thinking about, how do we cope with this? How do we speak in a way that will bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ? And James says in chapter 3, and verses 17 to 18, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." And today, that's what we're going to be heading towards as we're working through James chapter 3, that we cope with speaking by taking the wisdom that comes from heaven and living it in our lives. So let's come before God in prayer and let's ask his blessing upon our time together today. Heavenly Father, we come to you because you are the Almighty. And we ask today, Lord, that we might bring glory to your name. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. And even though we are not meeting in the church together, we are together through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would bless and you would help us. Lord, guide us today in the things that we say. Help us to say things that are helpful and that build others up rather than tear them down. Help us, Lord, always to say things that we know that you would be pleased to listen to. And Lord, we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be pleasing to you this day. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in the church service today, we'll be singing at this point, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now." And we're basically thinking of how we confess our faith in Jesus Christ with our lips. And we're thinking about our tongues today and our speech. So every tongue will confess who Jesus Christ is and what he means to us. In the second verse, we're going to be singing of the glory of the Lord. With his Father's glory, Jesus comes again. Angel hosts attend him and announce his reign. For all wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him, a King of glory now. That confession once again. So then let's come to God in prayer, and let's bring our prayers for others today. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer with the needs of others, our minds are drawn to the many reports that we have heard on the news this week and the events that are happening throughout the world. Many of them, Lord, we don't understand the full details, and therefore we find it difficult to know what to ask. But Lord, we simply bring these things to you as a lament today because they concern us. We have compassion for those who are involved, and we pray, Lord, that you would intervene and that your will be done in each one of these things. We pray for Israel and Palestine, and we see, Lord, the battles that are taking place, the missiles that are being fired, the buildings that are collapsing, but Lord, the lives that are being lost. And Lord, people have been bereaved and have lost loved ones. Others have been injured. And Lord, we cannot imagine what it would be like to live in such fear. And yet, Lord, this is a holy city, Jerusalem. So, Lord, we plead with you today that your will be done. Lord, this week in Russia, we heard of a shooting in a school and many students being killed, others jumping to safety and running for their lives. And Lord, as we've seen that in Russia this week, we've seen it in the United States in the past. And Lord, we plead with you that there would be an end to these senseless shootings. And we pray, Lord, for wisdom in each one. Lord, once again, we pray for India today. And as COVID spreads throughout that land and hospitals are finding it difficult to cope with. And Lord, as the coronavirus continues to ravage its way through India, we see that it's not on the news headlines anywhere near as much. There's a sense of fatigue about the story. And yet, Lord, there are many who are in need, and we pray for the aid effort there. Lord, we pray also today for Myanmar. And again, Lord, the military are still in charge of that country. A democracy has been set to the side. Many innocents have been killed. And Lord, we bring that country to you and ask, Lord, that peace would be restored there and democracy would be allowed to reign. Today, Lord, we also remember those who are ill, those who are struggling, those who have been bereaved. And as we bring them to you in prayer, we ask, Lord, that your will be done. Amen. Today, we're going to be studying James chapter 3, and we're going to look at it in two parts. And so our reading today is in two parts. The readings are going to be read, first of all, by Lex Ross, and also then the second one's going to be read to us by Jean Ross. So Lex is going to read verses 1 to 12, and then Jean, later on in the service, is going to read the next part of it. So James 3, verses 1 to 12, and it's Lex Ross reading for us today.
Reading this morning from the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water.
Thank you to Lex for reading for us today. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt." And that quote really fits in with so much of what we've been learning from the book of James over these last few weeks. And today we ask, how do you cope with speaking? And we're reminded again of what we found that very first week in chapter 1 and verse 19, where we read in verse 19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Now, it's important to note that James, unlike Lincoln, is encouraging us to speak, but he's just saying, slow down in your speech. Take your time. Be careful about what you say. Not to speak foolishly, because it will cause untold trouble and disaster, but to employ wisdom when we speak. And he warns that it's all too easy to get our speech wrong. He begins in chapter 3 with a warning, first of all, specifically to teachers. And he says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways." You see, James is telling us that the more we speak, and the more we like to hear our own words, the easier it is to stumble. To speak publicly without preparation is a recipe for disaster. To preach without prayer is a pointless exercise. So today we're asking this question, how do you cope with speaking? And we begin by seeing the problem of our tongues. James begins by pointing out the problem that we have with our tongues. As one commentator puts it, the tongue is a powerful influence out of proportion for its size. You see, the tongue is small. It is small in comparison to our bodies. It is tiny in comparison with our whole lives. And yet it exerts a powerful influence over everything that we do. And that influence may well be for good, but it can also be for bad. But either way, it is powerful. So we have to be careful with our tongues, because we can use them for good or we can use them for evil. And we can use them for selfish motives or for the good of others. If you like, this is a little bit, I suppose, like favouritism that we looked at last week. If we do a little pinprick test on the things that we say, then we can tell a lot about our relationship with Jesus. And in verse 2, James reminds us how much we need Jesus. He basically says, okay, we're going to talk about how we speak. If you have got that sorted out, then you're perfect and you don't need to listen. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. But James knows that none of us are perfect. And so therefore, we do actually need to listen. And if we cannot be perfect ourselves, then we need someone else who is perfect. And that is Jesus Christ. The danger comes in this little book if we see it only as a set of rules to follow. If that is the case, then it will be very discouraging, because every time we say something out of place, we'll have failed and we should be ready to give up. But if we view this book as a map to lead us to Jesus Christ, then every time we say something wrong, we'll be driven in our search for Jesus to find him, to seek him out, to hold tight to him, knowing that his perfection is the only thing that will see us through. So you can either use your tongue for good or for evil. If we use it for good, it can direct the whole course of our lives. James says it's like a bit in the mouth of a horse, or it's like a rudder on a ship. And it's no surprise that we live in a world where people cannot find peace and are living in turmoil when they choose not to control their tongues. Always being angry is not good for our soul. Always tearing people down is not going to promote well-being. Always complaining is not going to bring about peace for us. But as we'll see, James has a solution for all of this. If we allow our tongues to continue out of control, it is like a small spark that sets a forest on fire. James says it corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, those are striking words for James to use here. That if we let our tongues get out of control, they've been set on fire by hell itself. James tells us that whatever we say, we need to be consistent. If we use our mouths to praise God, then that should decide everything else that comes out of our mouths. If we say something about another person, we've got to ask, could we say that in prayer to God about that person? And that is a very simple test to decide whether what we're saying is right or wrong. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. You can't have fresh water and salt water coming out of the same spring, as James graphically tells us. You can't have olives growing on a fig tree. Or you can't have figs growing on a grapevine. What we say to God should influence what we say to others. And what we say to others will impact what we are able to say to God. So we need to be careful about what we say, because the tongue can be a huge problem. So what then is the solution to this problem of our tongues? Well, the solution is wisdom, and we're going to find that out in the second half of chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. And Jean Ross is going to read these verses to us, and then we're going to look at them together.
Continuing to read from James 3, chapter 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. But where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen.
So how do we cope with speaking? Well, James moves on to the solution from verse 13 onwards, and he tells us that the answer is of wisdom. Wisdom is what should guide our speech, and our speech is what shows our wisdom. who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. You see, wisdom, I suppose, is difficult to quantify in another person. How do you tell if someone's wise? What's your criteria for trying to decide that? So James tells us to listen to what they say and watch what they do. And is that not how we do find a wise person? We listen to them. And if their words are good and wholesome, we consider them to be wise. If they're always doing the right thing, then again, we consider them to be wise. But James also warns us here that there are actually two types of wisdom. And we need to make sure that we can differentiate between them so that we don't fall foul of it. We need to make sure that we recognize the two types. There's worldly wisdom, and then there is heavenly wisdom. So let's begin with the worldly wisdom. And although James wrote this almost 2,000 years ago, it could hardly be more apt about our world today, because our world today is full of bitter envy, it's full of boasting, it denies the truth all the time. And James says, if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Again, these earthly pursuits are what bring trouble and turmoil to a person's life. The world thinks that it is wise in rejecting God, but we have never witnessed such emptiness and despair as what we see in the world today. People have never been so overwhelmed by life. The more we believe the lies of the earth's wisdom, the more we have to reject the truth of God's word. So we need to make sure that we recognize what is earthly wisdom and reject it in favor of heavenly wisdom. So we reject the worldly wisdom. The alternative is the heavenly wisdom. And we find it in the last two verses, verses 17 and 18. And James reassures us that this heavenly wisdom will bring about peace rather than trouble. The very thing that the world is looking for at the moment. The very thing that people look to whenever they decide that suicide is the only option for them. And here James says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, there are lots of themes that James returns to in these verses that we've touched upon before. We are to be considerate of others. In other words, we're not to show favoritism. We're to be full of mercy. Remember, we saw last time how mercy triumphs over judgment. We're to be peacemakers, and that's very dependent on how we speak. We can either quieten a situation and bring people together, or we can split people and cause them to go against each other by what we say. So how do we cope with speaking? Well, we embrace the heavenly wisdom that God has to offer us. And remember what we saw the first week in chapter 1. Wisdom isn't so much a thing to be learnt or a set of rules to be followed. Wisdom is also a person. And we are to embrace the heavenly wisdom who is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who loves us, and you have sent your only Son to be wisdom, that we might trust in Jesus and find you day by day. Lord, help us to watch carefully what we say, because we recognize that it impacts so much on our witness for you. Help us find peace in you, Lord, and trust in you today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of our service on Sunday, we're going to sing "There is a Higher Throne." And again, these two themes of tongue and speaking and wisdom are tied up within this hymn. We're going to sing the first verse. "There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Before the Son will stand, made faultless through the Lamb, believing hearts find promised grace, salvation comes." And then in the second verse, we sing of God's wisdom. "Hear heaven's voices sing, their thunderous anthems ring. Through emerald courts and sapphire skies, their praises rise. All glory, wisdom, power, strength, thanks and honour are to God our King, who reigns on high forevermore." Let's finish our service with the blessing from God. "Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen." Thank you so much for worshipping with us today on this recording in preparation for the service on Sunday. Do hope that you have been encouraged and challenged from God's word. And do remember that we are now open on a Sunday. You're very welcome to come and join with us. We have an overflow set up in the hall, so you'll not be stopping. If you're a regular visitor to Burnside, you'll not be stopping any of our own congregation coming. We still have plenty of room Sunday by Sunday, and you're more than welcome to join us. If you're not too happy coming into the church building, you can go into the hall. There's a little bit more room in the hall. Might even be a little bit warmer in the hall as well. We have a video link through there, so you're more than welcome to join us. And we look forward to seeing you Sunday by Sunday. So thank you, and see you again soon. Bye.